I think this is a very applicable for our day and our view of war. I can assure you that I am not a warmonger. No one hurts more than I do to see the results of war. No doubt you feel the same. But this is not to say that when an enemy desires to come in and remove the freedom of our land, that we should sit passively by and say, well, we just had better live with it. It's just one of those problems of life. Evil is on the earth. The scriptures declare that when people take away the rights of those who are in the right, the Lord becomes angry. And so should we. Defending these treasured rights is our responsibility. Number 3. A third situation where anger is justified is in Ephesians 6. It is when children are dealt with unfairly by parents. Here we are no longer dealing with theory or some distant war or some court of law. We are now talking about justified anger in the home. I want to be very careful how I express myself so that I won't be misunderstood. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. The parallel verse in Colossians is, fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may lose heart. Colossians 3:21. It is interesting that in both passages, the Apostle Paul specifically addressed fathers. We fathers often are given to impatience, to a lack of real understanding of the feelings of our little ones, our teenagers, or our young adults still living at home. When we exasperate our children by dealing with them unfairly and they respond in anger, this anger is justified. Do not provoke your children to anger. And children, be careful that you do not look upon every word from your father's lips as provoking you to anger. I'm talking about those things fathers do that really bring out feelings of unfair hurt and irritation. We dads get into a hurry. We don't want to take the time to consider people's feelings. So we make demands and say foolish things that are unfair and uncalled for. I confess my own words convict me. A perfect illustration of this tension would be the Bible's report on Jonathan. Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Where's David?" And Jonathan said, "He isn't here. He's gone." Saul began to rebuke Jonathan. In fact, the words that are used in the original text suggest the idea of perversion. If I read the Hebrew correctly, Saul makes an accusation suggesting that his son and David are involved in illicit sexual activity. Unfair. Jonathan became indignant with his father. He said, "What has David done? What wrong has he done?" And then, after his father threw a spear at him to kill him, Jonathan stood, rebuked his father in anger, and left. A perfect illustration of what can happen when a father provokes his children to anger. I want to say something that might be misunderstood, but I'm still going to say it. I think some of us are twisting the teaching of the chain of command in the home way beyond its proper bounds. Anyone can take a good truth and pervert it, and I know of cases where this has been done. Be careful as a husband, a father, a man of God, that your dealings with your family are fair and that you can, before God, support them scripturally and logically. Be sensitive to your wife and children. Don't abuse the concept of the chain of command as a brutal, bloody club lording it over your family. Instead, be an authority that serves. Are you given to unjustified anger? Have doors been slammed closed in your home or with your friends simply because you lost your temper? Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 reads, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Be willing to lay this problem of a short fuse before the Lord. Perhaps a mild irritation leads you to be impatient, and before you know it, everything blows. Your testimony is at stake. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ at Calvary. All his anger at sin was, at that point in time, poured out on the Savior. He knows what anger is like. You can pour yours out upon him. He wants to take that weakness, that area of sin, and give you victory in it. Unjustified anger. Let's dig deeper. We can't leave the subject until we look at the other side of the coin. What is anger unjustified? Number one, when anger comes from the wrong motive. We've all studied the prodigal son, but we usually miss the prodigal that stayed home. He is the one who illustrates an anger that was not justified because it sprang from a wrong motive. When the younger brother came to himself, he was, you will recall, in a swine pen. He was at the end of his rope, and the scriptures say, "And when he came to his senses, he said, 'I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" Luke 15, verses 17 through 19. And he did that. You know the rest of the story. The father greeted him with open arms, delighted to have him there. But this joy was not shared by the wayward son's older brother.